Welcome to the German podcast Mehr als Töne, Musikpädagogik und Gesellschaft, which translates into More than Tones, Music Education and Society. In this podcast, I explore different philosophies and meanings of making music together and the effect these diverse ways of making music can have on people, communities, and ultimately on society. I enjoy interviewing musical leaders about their practice because I want to spread their valuable experiential knowledge and thereby connect music teachers, musical leaders, and all people who are interested in music education and the active building of society. Last week, it was a great pleasure to spend some time with Mariana Svark in Rio de Janeiro. I grabbed the opportunity to participate in a rehearsal with her Universal Music Workshop and also to talk about Mariana's work on the following day. In our talk, Mariana shared some valuable knowledge about her philosophy of making music. I hope you enjoy listening to her ideas as much as I do. But before that, you will hear a short audio clip from the rehearsal in Rio. In her rehearsals with this group of musicians, Mariana works without written music. So everybody learns and plays by heart, in most cases by imitating the musical material that Mariana offers them. She welcomes all people who want to make music with this group and also tries to give them individual support. Therefore, the work of this music group in Rio is inclusive. But now, let's get to the music and the ideas and philosophy behind it. Interested in is how did the project that I saw last night start? So what I saw here is that 8 people came to your house, to your living room, and you made music with them as a music leader. You invite them. And how did that start and what was your main idea?
To understand about this whole process, it's important to come back a little bit because there is a, I would say, a kind of music we call the universal music here. That Emmett Pascal started with this way of expressing music. It's deeply connected with Brazilian rhythms from all over the country, and like it's a very big country and a lot of people from a lot of places, especially during the after the Second War, plus the slaves that came in the 18th century. So we like each state you go, you can see a different kind of music with different motifs, and so it's very rich. So Emeto, this musician I told you about, he was the first one who decided to use modern chords together with Brazilian rhythms, because there was like modern chords and modern and contemporary improvisation is from jazz, and folk music is very simple. And that my father has been playing with him a lot. And my father started this project, like the Universal Music Workshop. That's the name of my project. And it's very, we have a very deep tradition of composing on real time, at real time, I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, it's like live composition.
Live composition. Inspired of each person who is taking part of the workshop. Now, I'm not composing to some singer, I'm composing to that singer that's in front of me with her history, with her life and her approach, and then I'm composing to the piano player who's there. It's not like to one, you know.
Can I ask a question? Because I think for people who were not in your session last night, it might be difficult to understand. So how do you work with the people? Like last night a new singer came, a young girl. So do you perceive what she's like? And then, yeah, how do you do that?
When she arrived, she told me like, hey, she was like kind of stalking me on Facebook, and so yeah. She knew everything about my music, and she was very interested in learning something from me, especially the way I improvise. So it was her first phrase, like, I'm not good at improvising, but I'm having classes at the university, and I know, and then she told me the name of some good musicians that she sings with. She's very young, but I could see that she was very, like, worried about her musician skills. So I could feel that she's very concentrated, focused, but she was worried. And then I kept that in my mind, and I was trying stuff with her. Of course, I will develop a lot. Like, she will keep coming. But the first thing I felt that I could say to her is that she was, like, very much worried about that, and it's not something to be stressed with. Yes, that's what I tried with her. Yes.
Yeah, that's how you work with human beings, right? You watch them, how they react, what they tell you.
And of course, we're gonna work on tools to make her life easier. Of course, we have practicing, but first of all, she was very, like, there is something missing her singing, and I don't believe in that. If you have something that you have to develop, you have to develop. It's not like, you know, oh my God, I can't do that. So what can I do to reach the goal? And we have several goals.
Yeah, that's also something I want to talk about, like your goals as a music leader. In what way do you want to help these people, like that girl last night?
Like, I want them to be themselves, and I want to, like, the way I was taught by my father, that's the one who taught me everything, I mean, everything I know. He was very sensitive to see what I could do better, because for me, it, being a professional musician, it was and it is a big challenge, because my godfather, that's my father's mentor, he's a legend in the whole world.
What is his name again?
Hermeto Pascoal. So everybody knows him. He plays here to 10,000 people, 20,000 people, and playing instrumental music and bring this amount of audiences to something. And then my father, that's a fantastic musician, people call him a genius, and being a woman and coming, like, in this three generations and being the first woman and being his daughter and playing with him, it was very, like, during a long time I thought that I would never be able to do that. But
why?
Because they, like, the way I look at him, like, they are so awesome that I changed, but I thought that I didn't have the right to be a leader, because I would never be like them. And, like, this phrase, like, it was with me for a long, long time. And then I would say 5 years ago, I realized that I have the right to be me, and being me, it's not better than worse than anyone, it's just me.
And exactly.
Yeah, and, like, I'm coming back to your question. I want my students being them. I want to help them to like what they have. I don't know if you remember the lady who plays the keyboard.
Yes.
So she's...
How old is she?
She's 55 or something. She's kind of rich, not like very rich, but she, the owner of five homeopathy stores. It's very famous, like, everybody knows. So she earns a good money. It's also a lot of responsibility, because, and she's always insecure about her practicing and blah blah. So she's not gonna be a professional musician, but she has been my student for 3 years, and she comes to workshop and she pays me to go 2 days more to her house. So she's really in love with this process of learning, and she changed a lot. Now she hang with these teenagers.
Yeah,
students,
I saw that.
And they have beers together, and, like, music is in her life, and it's helping her to be more confident. Of course, I know that when the level starts getting higher, she becomes insecure again. So that's my work. Hey, you have the right to be here. You are doing your part. Come on.
Yeah.
Like you can do your 5%. If that guy, he has more experience, he will play a little bit more. But we are doing something together. And that's my point. I want them to find what they have better. And I have to help with the tools to improve what they want to improve, like, but without stressing, because I don't believe in this musical pedagogy.
Like pressure.
Pressure, like there is something missed. There's something that you don't have. There's something that I can, you know. And
yes, I've thought about this a lot too, your point of view on human beings, and you have a choice. You can decide if you want to see their strengths or their weaknesses, and you have to see both, but it's very important, I think, to tell them this is your strong part, this is what you can do really well, and I can hear your voice here, and this is what you can improve on. And I had the feeling that you did that last night.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that much, but
Of course, I'm trying, and but it's a big challenge to deal with such different kinds of people, like people, young people who really wants to become professional musicians, and like that guy who is helping me with the students, he has been my student for 10 years, so he knows me very much, and I like to have him. He's very pragmatic. We're different. Because
who is it?
It's the one who was playing the flute, like in that corner. When I'm traveling, he comes and he works with the, and it's something new to him, like to earning some money, because he's an engineer. And now he's earning some money, like teaching, but so he knows me very much. So he keeps looking if I'm doing something wrong, because he knows that I want to let my mind free. So sometimes I think that in one part and I'm not, just because I'm really trying to focus on, and then he knows that I'm doing it, and then he speaks to me like very low, like, Mari, take care, because it's the wrong part. And I like that the students to see me making mistakes.
And why?
Because it's important to them. Because I'm sure you didn't understand, but yesterday I talked a lot to them about, for me, improvising is making mistakes all the time. Of course, if you decide to be a jazz perfect improviser, blah blah blah, you are gonna practice a lot on solo, and you are gonna reproduce on the stage what you. But that's not my thing. I think it's like, I like to improve my tools. I like to have the sound of the chords in my mind. I like to feel the drummer who's playing with me and the bass player. Like, if the rhythm sections change, it changed my way of playing. I'm deeply affected for people who are playing with me. So I'm not the same, because I like to take risks. I like to be surprised by myself. That's what makes me want to be on the stage. Like, I like to have my heart, like, because I have to, and sometimes it doesn't work because I'm taking like a lot of risks, but you have to know how to transform that mistakes in another phrase, in another, okay, it didn't work, I will do a glissando, I will do a
you were talking about that,
and then suddenly you are not afraid anymore, because you trust in yourself. And it's nice when you can trust in the other musicians that play with you, that you are going to handle what comes, if you are connected, if you are not afraid of making mistakes. And there's something that just the stage and just the gigs are going to give to you, because then you come back to your practicing room and you remember that phrase, that finger, it's not working, and then you just work on it. You can talk up with your practicing on the stage room. And I want them never being afraid of anything, just like being worried about listening, about the interplay, about being together. We have to be connected. Yeah, and it's something that I believe that it's something that I try to do with another subject in my life. It's not just about music. Mm-hmm. I really like to connect, being connected with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I believe that, like, I'm here in Brazil, I'm not considered a very open person, because people here are more open than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like to go slowly when I meet someone. I don't like to, mm-hmm. I like to hear. And I think in music, making music is the same. Yeah.
Cool. You were mentioning that your father is a man and his, and your godfather as well, and you are a woman, and that this is, that this makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Can you explain why?
We are a very sexist country here in Brazil. We have a huge tradition of, during all the parties and family meetings, like the women, they cook, they wash the dishes, and the men are just smoking or drinking, and it's like, it's changing, but it's deeply in, like, it's very, sometimes I'm playing gigs, and I've been working a lot on chords and harmonies and improvisation, so I really know what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I'm playing some gigs, and I talk to the accordion player or to the guitar player, hey, this chord is wrong because blah, 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 blah. And sometimes they don't answer me.
They ignore
they
this?
Ignore, and they keep playing it wrong. And I have to adapt myself. Mm. And it happens a lot.
And what does your father say about this when you maybe complain sometimes about
my
this?
My father, when we started talking about that, because he's not like that, my dad. And he has something that music comes first. If I'm wrong, and if it's to the, but he was telling me like, Mari, I think this feminist stuff, it's a little bit too much, because if you're a woman and you really can play, people are going to respect you, come on. But he doesn't understand that a normal male musician, like not a genius, he is respected, he would never be ignored, but to be respected, I have to be the best flutist in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a woman. I have to prove, like, once, twice. I have to.
You have to be better than a man? Is that your point?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Now, and that's why I wasn't brave enough to start my solo career before, because I'll never be better than my dad, than my godfather. And it's hard. I will not be better than them, and mostly of the musicians in the world, because they are something else. And but who cares? It's their stories. I have the right to develop what's mine. And
I think then you will succeed as a musician. Only if you find your own voice. I think that's very important.
Of course, I had to stop looking at them, how great they are. And they are my idols, and they are the people who inspired me. But I can't, like, spend the rest of my life like, I will be like... And I think now I have, like, my psychotherapist and friends that I talk a lot about that. Because my first solo project is with only foreign musicians. So, because I think that in Germany, in Finland, and Denmark, people, they don't know who is my dad, who is my godfather.
Yeah,
and they
right.
They had me first, but here in Brazil, I will be always the third generation.
In the shadow of them, kind of.
Yeah, or sometimes because of the feminism, like, oh, the first women, blah, 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 but it's always related to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's, like, bad to meet my history, and it's a part of me, but I think, like, when I went to Europe and when the musicians there started telling me, like, hey, your arrangements are great, hey, we love you as a band leader, it was like the way they looked at me changed the way I looked at me, and it was like a very rich and very deep process, and then I came to Brazil with that feedback. And I felt stronger.
Yeah.
It was very beautiful, hard at the same time, because, yes, I helped my father with everything in his career. I answer emails, I book gigs.
Ah, okay.
I play in his group, so he was very much afraid of losing me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think it's not the right time to start this project, but the project was already started. You know, I have gigs every year, so I had to, and I thought like, ah, is everything solved? And then I saw that I have to tell him, hey, it's happening. I can't stop this process. I will be unhappy if I do that, and I will be a terrible side woman to your group if I'm frustrated, because it's happening. I have invitations and.
So your empowerment started in Europe, kind of. Far away from home.
Very far away. Mm-hmm. And like playing with people into the audience that met me first. Then now they know my dad and I met them because I talk about them all the time, because I have to understand me. People, they have to listen to them. And now they know them through my work. So it was... it wasn't a coincidence. I think I needed that too. Okay, but it wasn't easy again. It was like their fault, like because they are sexist or because they didn't want me, like me. It was like something that I had to confront them and to prove that I was sure. And
You did your own thing. And I wish that music teachers would do that more, people working in schools, because then the young people making music with them will enjoy it a lot, I think, because as you said before, everybody has his or her own story, and that's what makes it interesting.
I
believe that.
And that we can make music together anyway. People who are starting playing, like great jazz musicians, we can always play together if you want to interact.
Thank you.
Thank you for the nice questions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you want to comment on it or give any kind of feedback, please use the option Kommentar on the blog mehralstöne.de. In the near future, I plan to publish more episodes in English, and I would be happy if you check them out again. Until then, enjoy teaching and making music with others.